And now we go live to the CBJ Assembly Chambers to the League of Women Voters Municipal Candidate Forum.
Women Voters of Juneau and moderator for the following City and Borough of Juneau Municipal Candidate Forum. This program is being aired live tonight on KTOO Radio. Many thanks to Jeff Brown and Martha Moore at K2 for their assistance, and thanks to Lori Sika for help with sound in assembly space. Also, a special welcome and thanks to Thunder Mountain High School seniors and government teacher Mara Early for their participation in this evening's event, as well as other students in attendance. It's great to see some young people involved. This forum is divided into two parts. We'll start with the mayoral and assembly candidates for about 45 minutes, then we'll move to the school board candidates. Candidates for mayor are Greg Fisk and Mayor Merrill Sanford. Assembly District 1 candidate joining us online is Lauren Jones. And Assembly District 2 candidates are Dixie Hood, Jerry Nankervis, and Jason Puckett. Jason will also be joining us by phone. Each candidate will give a one-minute opening statement. Then questions will be asked rotationally. The first respondent to a question will have 65 seconds. If any of the other candidates want to respond, each is allowed 45 seconds. At the conclusion, each candidate will be allowed 30 seconds to give a closing statement. Dr. George Brown is our timekeeper this evening. At 10 seconds, he will raise a small flag. At the last second, he will ring a bell and I will interrupt. The questions tonight have been prepared by audience participants and given to league members to give to me. The goal is to ensure a variety of topics are covered. So for opening statements, we're going to start with Greg Fisk, mayoral candidate. Greg, please tell us something about yourself and why you're running for mayor.
Well, I'm a longtime Juneau resident. I've been in Alaska since 1959, which is really getting way back there. I'm running for mayor because I think we need active, innovative leadership to guide the city during the coming years, which, as we all know, we're facing some serious challenges. And my main emphasis is going to be on economic development and diversification. As everybody knows, we're very much a government town. I mean, we get 20% of our employment, 28% of our payroll comes from the state, but that's we're facing real challenges there. So I think we need to work on building our strength in other areas. We do have some good opportunities, I think, in tourism. One thing in particular that I've been working on a lot is trying to move some of the federal fisheries jobs that are in Seattle, which should be in Alaska, out of Seattle and here. I think we could possibly bring 170 high-paying jobs here, so that will be definitely a focus of mine, is diversification of the economy.
Great, thank you. Mayor Sanford.
Thank you. Good evening to everybody. I'm Merrill Sanford and running for re-election here. There's many, many things that we have started in the past 3 years from the assembly level. I see Mr. Wanamaker's in the crowd with us. There's several other people who have served on the assembly with me in the past 13 years. And we have been able to accomplish a great deal with the economic development plan. One of the big chapters of that is Mr. Fisk worked on one of the committees to help us do the NOAA report. And that's a big issue that we need to work towards with our council and our legislators in Washington, D.C. to try to make happen. And not only for Juneau, but for all of Alaska. Like he said, there's 170 jobs there that could go to one of our coastal cities, Ketchikan, Sitka, or Juneau. The budget issue next year is very important for us to take care of, and with the state getting close to offering revenue ideas, we're going to have to learn to live within our budget in the next year or two for sure.
Great, thank you. Lauren Jones, are you on the line?
I am, thank you.
Great, thank you. Please tell us about yourself and why you're running for Assembly District 1 seat.
Thank you. I am running for re-election for District 1 seat. I'm just ending my first three-year term. I think that I personally have added a important voice to the discussion over the last 3 years, many of the issues that the two mayoral candidates talked about I've been part of. I think I've added a good, strong intelligent voice to that. I think we need to come up with a stable fiscal plan for the city, one that we can manage best. And part of that is to implement the economic plan that we finalized last year. I think there are parts of that plan that we need to actively participate in, but there are other parts of that plan that needs the active participation of citizens, businesses in Juneau to help the city. If the city simply, if the citizens rely on the city borough to try to implement the plan alone,
Lauren, you're out of time.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Dixie Hood, running for Assembly District 2.
I've been in Juneau for 40 years and have been on a variety of different commissions and boards and have been to lots of meetings in this room. And I really want an opportunity to support public involvement, to maximize the public involvement and transparency and ethics in our city government. And one of the things that I think is important is to work to keep the Capitol and the legislature here for all of its regular and special sessions and fight Capitol creep. The economy needs to be diversified, and there are lots of ways of going about this that would improve both the opportunities for the public and the quality of life here in Juneau. I would work in terms of Juneau access, which I think is important, to improve the ferry service, which I think is very important for seniors particularly, because we no longer very often drive or have cars. And I would like to be a senior on this assembly to bring a perspective to this growing population in Juneau.
Great, thank you. Jerry Nankervis, Assembly District 2.
Thank you. Like you, I care about this community. If you didn't care, you wouldn't be down here tonight. Caring for this community is something I've done for a long time, since I've moved here. I've been pretty passionate about this town, and this town has been good to me, and I like to be good to the town right back. Since I've been on the Assembly, I've worked really hard to try and be approachable and listen to all sides, whether I necessarily agreed with it or not, listen to all sides and make a decision that I think is best for the entire community, knowing that that might not make everybody happy. But I'm willing to step out in front and make the tough decisions and make the tough calls, ask the tough questions, because I think the people in town deserve that. And I would be remiss if I didn't do that. And also, I'm having fun. This is fun doing this, contrary to what you might think in the last week or so. This is fun. I enjoy it, and I hope to do it for another 3 years with your help. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. All right, Jason Puckett, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Great, go ahead. Thank you.
I just want to thank you for letting me call in. So I'm in Anchorage. You know, listen to all the Juneau tenure that I hear out there. You know, I'm new to the community, but you know, I love this place. You know, this is my home. I'm about to buy a house. I have three kids that go to school here, and this is my home, and this will be my home for good. And I think there's a lot of changes that we need to make for Juneau. We need to get the youth involved. We need to make sure that the schools are fully funded. We need to make sure that they don't go away to the lower 48 after graduation. Make sure there's good jobs here for those kids. Make sure they can raise a family and have affordable housing. And I think bringing a new voice to Juneau is the main reason why I'm running for Assembly, and hopefully I will get your vote.
Great, thank you, Jason. Okay, first question this evening is gonna go to Mayor Sanford, and then we'll go down the line with Lauren Jones next to follow. What three things would you support to revitalize downtown and support mixed-use businesses and residents?
So if you look at the economic development plan that we put out this past year through the Assembly, and was a citizen's plan, really, because we had many, many people, 200 and 300 people at a whack at these meetings to help develop that. We need to put ordinances on the books that help encourage the private sector to redevelop their properties. We have downtown probably 300 to 400 units that sit vacant all year round in the downtown area. We need to give incentives and put out there to the business community ways for them to be able to afford to remodel and rebuild those different buildings that are sitting empty right now. And so that's the key number one, and that's part of the housing problem that we have. If we can fill up all the units that we have, we would be much better off. The other one is to look at the seniors in the downtown area and try to get them housing to affordable housing. That's a matter of opinion what affordable is, but we know that our housing goes from middle of the road clear up to 1,500, 1,600 and more. So those are two of the items.
Thank you, Mayor Sanford. Lauren Jones, Assembly District 1, same question. What three things would you support to revitalize downtown and support mixed-use businesses and residents?
I think that I will name one because it's going to take the 45 seconds. I think the downtown businesses need to form a downtown improvement district, one in which they tax themselves, in which they then put together whatever they want to encourage their own businesses, to encourage themselves to do the things the mayor just talked about. And then if part of that they want ordinances changed, then they have the money, the staff, and the research to come to the city and say, here's what we need passed to make this happen because we as a downtown businesses want to see this happen. Without their active involvement through a downtown improvement district that they control, that they have the input on, we will always have a bunch of people that won't want to do it, but people
Lauren.
That do. Thank you.
I'm going to have to cut you off. Thanks. Dixie Hood, would you like to respond?
Yes, I think that I would like to focus, besides the housing issue for seniors, I think transportation is a major thing, and congestion downtown, as well as the pollution that comes along with the congestion, is a problem. I'd like to have more park and ride opportunities for persons that live in the valley, to encourage carpooling, which practically is non-existent in Juneau, and to support a return of the circulator shuttle service that we had some years ago, thanks to a grant that the city obtained. It circulated every 20 minutes. It was very popular, and the revitalization committee has supported that at this time.
Great, thank you. Jerry Nankervis.
Thank you. As others have said, we're looking at incentivizing to be tax abatements to try and encourage downtown property owners to redevelop their property. As you're aware, there's been looks at places like the Gross Apartments and why that is sitting there empty, and it's the cost of refurbishing that place and getting people in it. Or we're looking at stores that just about this time of year might paper up the lower windows, even though they have residences upstairs, and leave them empty. And the assembly right now is starting down the road at looking of ways to do property or tax abatements to try and incentivize folks to refurbish their property and get the housing back downtown. In addition to that, the assembly is taking steps towards cleaning up the Gaston Apartments and I'll call it a demo site because it's going to be soon, and hopefully create an opportunity for more housing down there. And in addition to that, we need to continue encouraging buses, carpools, and park and rides, and we have started down that road. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Jason Puckett.
We need to encourage more local business owners to own businesses downtown. We need year-round businesses. You know, once the cruise ships leave, downtown is basically a ghost town for most of the part. If we have more people going there to shop, to spend money, to increase the tax revenues, it will get the people that will be able to live in those apartments above those businesses. And I think that's a big thing, for one. Two, we need to clean up downtown. Downtown is the face of Juneau. It's the first thing people see when they get off the cruise ships, and so it's really important that we clean it up, you know, clean up the garbage, make sure we don't have the homeless issue, the drunk issue that we have downtown. So we need to clean that up as well. I think those are the two most important things for downtown.
Great, thank you. Lauren Jones, you get the next question first regarding our schools. If Ketchikan wins its current Supreme Court case, will you vote to maintain current municipal funding levels? Wow, thank you. Greg Fisk, sorry. thank you.
This has been an issue. Thank you for that. This has been an issue that's really near and dear to my heart because I've been on Downtown Business Association Board and also on JEDC when we started working on the whole issue of downtown revitalization. Everybody identifies the key issue as having more people living downtown. That's the best way to keep the area active and vibrant. And there's big demand from basically two ends of the demographic. It's older people who are empty nesters looking for something smaller to live downtown, and also millennials, which is a group of people that we really need to attract to this town. So we really have to concentrate on that housing issue. A number of things have been mentioned here that one of which I've been working on very strongly is downtown circulator transit. It's been on the agenda over and over again, but we haven't been able to get it there. I think I've got a plan that can do that for us. And the business improvement district that Lauren mentioned is something that DBA raised its hand on when people were asked, you know, who would pick up various parts of the economic development plan. So I think all the things that were mentioned are good, but the main thing is getting more people living downtown.
Great. Thank you, Greg, and thank you for flagging me down. Now, Lauren Jones. Okay, back to the school question. If Ketchikan wins its current Supreme Court case, will you vote to maintain current municipal funding levels for education, even if there's no state mandate? Why or why not?
The answer would be yes. And a little explanation. If I understand correctly, if Ketchikan were to win, the $11 to $12 million that we currently are required by the state to pay, the lawsuit says the state should be paying, so it will be important that the state do that. Then the optional that we pay above that to reach the $26 million, I would certainly continue. I would vote to continue to do that. My fear is that the legislature will take the $11 or $12 million that they will now fund schools, and we will lose capital projects, we will lose revenue sharing, we will lose a lot of other money that the state gives to the city. So, in balance, my answer is yes, I would want to continue all contributions that we are allowed to give to the district. But there will be some possible prices that the state will pay, or the city will pay, in financial support otherwise from the state if Ketchikan wins.
Thank you, Lauren. Dixie Hood, response?
Well, I think that the maximum amount of money possible for supporting education is critical, and I think that the city should maintain its maximum level of contribution to education, and I think we also should definitely press our representatives in the state legislature to do that as well.
Great, thank you. Jerry Nankervis?
Thank you. Kids are important, funding the kids is important. This decision could have big financial impacts on the city. And while I can sit here and say I would like to fund it to what we funded today, I don't know. I think that's going to depend on what kind of revenue we're looking at and what kind of hits we're looking at taking from the federal government and from the state of Alaska. So I think it's premature to make that statement right now until the numbers come in and I can see what's going on. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Jason Puckett?
I think it's very important that we fully fund the schools. It's not just the city funding or the state funding. You know, we need to reach alternate opportunities for funding. You know, local businesses should be funding programs in the schools, cable in the classroom, making sure we have, like, some of the trade groups coming in, teaching our kids life skills, you know, how to change a tire, bring back auto shop, things like that. So it's not just the city and the state funding the schools. I think as a community as a whole, we should fully fund the schools to the maximum possibility.
Great, thank you. Greg Fisk.
I think Lauren's explanation was right on point. This matter is being adjudicated now, and once that decision comes out, then the legislature has to act on what they're going to do to backfill or correct that. I think it would be very unfortunate if the Ketchikan lawsuit won, because it would let the state off the hook in a very major way, and we'd have to really struggle at that point in time if they didn't come through with some other appropriation to fund our schools as much as we need to fund them. So my answer is yes, I would do everything I possibly could to see we got the maximum level of funding to keep our schools in top-notch condition. And there's going to be a lot of challenges coming from the legislature this year, and this is liable to be one of them.
Thank you, Greg. Mayor Sanford.
Thank you. We have funded to the cap except for 1 year in the past 13 years that I've been on the assembly or as mayor. And this town has always contributed as much as they could every single year, and up to $500,000 to $1 million above the cap in different little areas. And we want to continue that. We want the best education. I've got 6 grandkids, 5 of them going to school here, 2 of them graduated, and 3 left going to school here in Juneau. And I want the best education for them so they can pick and choose where they stay and have jobs, good jobs, to live their life and everything. I can't tell you right now if I would tax our citizens $24 million worth of property tax on top of what we pay right now. I can't tell you yes, I would do that. So to be right up front and honest about the situation, we have to look at what the state's going to try to put in after whatever happens with the lawsuit. We have to look at that amount and see what they're going to do to help facilitate the schools across the state of Alaska, and then what is left for us to do. And then you can make a good economic development judgment, but it will not be, in my mind, automatic moving forward by any means.
Great, thank you very much. Next question goes to Dixie Hood first. How shall we manage marijuana in the community? And do you think we'll have to get rid of our clean air ordinance in order to have marijuana available in the community?
Well, I think that postponing the decision until the end of the year was a wise thing for the assembly to do in terms of regulations and figuring out just how to move forward on the whole marijuana issue. I know Lauren has been on the state committee in regard to that, and there are various issues around a place downtown that visitors might have access to, similar to a bar not serving food, that I think would promote some tax revenue and raise the economy in that regard. And taxes from the marijuana use and sales, I think, will be a helpful revenue source for Juneau.
Great, thank you. Jerry Nankervis, same question.
I'll answer the second part of the question first, and that is no. I don't think we should get rid of the clean air ordinance. But having said that, I believe we're going to have to look at how we address the marijuana issue and the marijuana use in this town. I don't have all the answers to that. We have a committee set up to do that. We have the public input that we need to seek. And the public is going to decide that through all of this. Now, I might have a vote with what the public says and with the information I'm provided and with what I get from everybody. But how that addressed is a community decision. That's not my decision. And when we get to the end of this process, we just extended the moratorium because we're finding out how difficult it is to get through this morass of rules for something that we're not familiar with yet. And I was just at the Planning Commission last night when they discussed what zones would you be able to have a marijuana grow in. And there was discussion at the Planning Commission level. I thought it was important for me to be there and hear that. But we are going to decide what we need to do as a community and I'll weigh in on that at the end and do what I think is best based on the information I gather from everybody.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you.
Jason Puckett.
Well, just like Jerry, I'll answer the second part first. No, we should not suspend the clean air ordinance. Two, I live in Colorado when they enacted their recreational laws, so I kind of have some extra insight on that. We're kind of at a disadvantage compared to Oregon, Washington, and Colorado because we didn't have the medical marijuana in place before we enacted the recreational. And so we have a lot of work that we have to do. We've got to make sure it's fair for everybody, make sure we're taxing it properly, make sure we're regulating the businesses properly, but also make sure we are ensuring that tourists who come here, maybe not just for that, but come here and want to partake, have a place that they can partake. And so I think it's very important that we get the ground rules in place as soon as possible to ensure that we have a stable revenue source coming from this new business in Alaska.
Thank you, Jason. Greg Fisk.
Yeah, my take on this, my personal preference on this whole thing would have been that we ended up with a decriminalization, but that's not what the voters decided. They decided that we were going to go to full legalization, and so that puts the onus on the city. I think it's going to be a multi-year process as we feel our way forward, because I think there will be mistakes made along the way that we'll have to adjust for. I think that the Assembly's committee is doing a yeoman-like job on working on a complex situation. I do not support changing the clean air ordinance to alter that. And the regulation, how it's going to be set up for individual businesses, I think is really, really open to question here. And we're going to have a long process on this. I haven't made up my mind on what the right thing to do is. And I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of input from the public and from our committees making various recommendations. But I think we're in for a long slog here. This is not going to be easy to figure out.
Thank you, Greg. Mayor Sanford?
You know, our marijuana committee at the city level is working hard, and it's part of the Planning Commission and part of the Assembly is the makeup of that committee. And then they're taking input from the citizens and that. And so they're beginning to formulate some of the ideas and thoughts. But what we really have to do is wait. And one of the reasons why we're behind, and Mr. Jones, I know, is up there working on the marijuana committee up for the state, but they're looking at the statewide issues and are trying to produce, I think they're on their third or fourth set of additions to the law that they're trying to put out to us. And we need to make sure we stay right behind that so we can take action quickly, but we need to let them give input to us because some of the rules that they pass down to us, just like the ABC board and the liquor licenses, we have to abide by. So some of those things we have to take into consideration and put into our law, and then some of the zoning issues and things we can say what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. The scary part of all this is the Clean Air Act, and there is a possibility, depending on how the rules come out, whether we will lose the Clean Air Act or be able to keep it.
Thank you, Mayor Sanford. Lauren Jones.
As several people have mentioned, I am in Anchorage. I am a member of the Marijuana Control Board for the state. And since we do have regulations out for public comment, and what we're working on is reviewing that public comment, we hope by the end of tomorrow we will put all of the previous three sets all out together for one last round of public comment. And because of that, I'm going to beg off this question. Attorneys for the state have cautioned me about making any prejudgments on regulations that are out for hearing that I have to act on. So I'm not going to respond beyond what I've already said. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Lauren. Next question goes first to Jerry Nankervis. Child care was identified as a top goal of the Assembly. What can the Assembly do to facilitate the provision of adequate child care in Juneau?
We've done several things. One, through the Planning Commission, we've just changed the zoning and what is and isn't permitted in certain zones to try and encourage an increase in daycare facilities. Daycare centers is in there also, but mostly it has to do with daycare facilities around town. It's still early yet to know if that is working, but through all our discussions, it looks like it should accomplish what we want, which is to get more opportunities out there to make that happen. We've also contributed to a number of things at the assembly level. I'm going to forget the title of what it is right now that we do. We've supported the early education, which isn't the child care, but we've supported something else that right now escapes me what it is we've done. Now, what we can't do or haven't done is look at subsidizing daycare to make it more affordable. But I think we're working within the rules that we have and modifying the rules that we have to try and increase the daycare facilities around town, and hopefully it works, and time will tell. Thank you.
Thank you. Jason Puckett, your thoughts on child care in Juneau?
I think what the assembly has done so far is a good first step, but it's only the first step. We need to make sure that we can have families that can afford to have both their parents go to work. And the big thing is making sure that the small and medium daycare providers, you know, the 3 to 5 or the 5 to 10 kid daycare providers are able to start up a facility and get licensed and make sure that they can have the children in their facility. And, you know, I live right next to a large, you know, 20 plus kid daycare facility. So I know there's a little bit of noise and things like that that's involved, but it's really important for our community. So I think we need to work on some of those smaller options that we don't really have in the city and make sure that we encourage that so we can have families that can have 2 incomes so they can afford to live in Juneau.
Thank you, Jason. Greg Fisk?
Yeah, I think this is an interesting area because it's very important to have a good daycare for young families that are moving here and that we're trying to attract. I think the Assembly has done some good things with these zoning modifications. When I was on JEDC, we had some input from a number of people who were seeing this as an entrepreneurial opportunity to open more daycare centers, and I think that's something that we should encourage. So I think there's like a double benefit here. There's opportunities being created for individual entrepreneurs to get in and provide those services, and they're very, very essential, particularly if we're trying to attract new, younger people to move into town.
Thank you, Greg. Mayor Sanford?
So with child care facilities, I think it's been on our list of goals for the last 3 years, and finally this past year, we went through the process with the Community Development Department and changed all the regulations. And it used to be that you couldn't have more than 6 kids in any, and in certain areas of the borough too. Now you can open up to 12 children in an establishment in all zoning areas, D1 up to the higher densities of planning and zoning. And so I think that should really help. Now we have to get back the interest of the daycare facilitators and those people who want to do a good business and get them back into the plan and moving forward with it. We eased up on some of the parking requirements. We eased up on the zoning issue and increased the amount of kids that they can have in different places. And we do hear some complaints about noise off and on. But I think that those were all good things that we've done, and we need to keep and continue to listen to the public of how well any of this is working, for sure.
Thank you, Mayor. Lauren Jones?
Thank you. And I think what Jerry was talking about, we fund, I think it's Association of Early and Youth Education Center, AEYC, I believe is the acronym. And what they identified was turnover among child care workers' salaries. And so what we were doing was enhancing salaries if persons employed had worked through the education and had gotten the certificate that AEYC offers. I think another solution that we need to work on is, and in this time it's going to be very, very hard, is to get the state to fully fund early education, 2-3-year-olds, preschool, early education, where we have trained teachers, salaries are higher, lower turnover, and kids get a good start on their early education while they're in a daycare type setting, I think would be go a long ways. And that's something we can help lobby the state on. The state has almost passed that several years ago and last year, and maybe we can help push it over the top. But a lot of what the other persons have said, I think we're working on. But
thank you, Lauren.
Thank you.
Dixie Hood.
I think that childcare is critical, and one of the things that Lauren just mentioned is something that I've had experience with. The Montessori preschool over in Douglas was a place that I had done substitute teaching as one of the part-time jobs that I've been able to take on. And the ages were from 2, if they were toilet trained, on up to, I think it was 5, when they would be ready to start kindergarten. And it was remarkable, the structured program there and the things that those young people learned. And it was like all day long care, and persons that worked could come at a set time at the end of the day and know that their young people, that the kids were safe and were learning. And I would advocate for those programs through the state.
Great, thank you, Dixie. The next question goes first to Jason Puckett. This is on voting. What do you think about lowering the municipal voting age to 16? And please explain.
I think 18 is a good established age. It's the age you can join military without parental consent. I don't think we need to worry about lowering the voting age. I think we need to educate our youth more, you know, in the schools and things like that. So when they turn 18, they're going to vote. You know, the last municipal election was roughly 29% of the people actually showed up to vote. And that's low compared to, if you look at every other country in the world, that's extremely low. And so we need to start looking at how we can get the youth to actually come out and vote when they turn voting age and not lowering the voting age.
Thank you, Jason. Yeah. Greg Fisk.
Yes, I don't think lowering the voting age to 16 would in itself do much, but we really do have to work on turnout. And I think this, you know, one of the problems that we have is the timing of the municipal election is odd. You know, I've been out doing a lot of door-to-door, and an awful lot of people that I talk to think the election's in November, because that's when most elections are. So there's a good deal of confusion about that. And I think perhaps we could do something in that regard. And we just need to support all the efforts of, like, the League and other people who try to get more voter turnout. I don't think there's any magic bullet there, but it's really pretty depressing to see the level of turnout that we do get.
Thank you, Greg. Mayor Sanford?
So we have to remember that we've only been in the 20% for one time in the 13 years that I've run. Last year it started off at 29, but then when they counted the leftover absentees and everything else, it was about 33% or 34% in the end. That's not good by any means. And we have had it on our goals of assembly issues to look at in many different ways. And we've changed our voting regulations in a number of different ways to help encourage. And in fact, we've also looked at the mail-out ballots and going to that type of system. In some places, that worked really good for the first 2 or 3 or 4 years, and then even that trailed off. What gets people out to vote is big, exciting issues. If we would have had the senior ordinance out to vote, in the voting booth for them to make the decision on, that would have brought out a lot of people. You know, we would have had a 60% turnout probably. But that wasn't part of the game plan this time around. But it definitely takes some type of issues to bring and get the interest of the populace out and voting.
Thank you, Mayor Sanford. Lauren Jones?
No, I would not support lowering the age to 16. And to stick to that topic, I think that there's a lot of education that goes on in the schools. Not every person in the schools is engaged as the two classes that are early teaches that I was in. And I really do think 18 is an appropriate age to start to vote. But I do think there's a lot of education. We always took our kids to vote. We always voted early enough before we took them to school. And our kids today vote all the time. I don't think they've ever missed a local or national election or state election where they've lived. And it's very important to them, but it's a habit that they learned because we took them every time we went to vote. They went with us into the voting booth from the time they were going to daycare, probably through elementary school. And it stuck with them. And I think that's as important as anything else.
Thank you, Lauren. Dixie Hood?
I do not think it would be a good idea to reduce the voting age to 16. And one of the things that took place several years ago, I think it was probably back in 2007, when Randy Wanamaker and I were running for assembly, and Juno Douglas High School had the whole auditorium filled with an opportunity, or I guess it was the gym, another large opportunity space to have the candidates come and speak, and they asked questions, and it was an exposure to the candidates in a way that I thought was really helpful. And while I participated in the Thunder Mountain High School young people's doing the profiles, I don't think that that was informing to them to the extent that a presentation by the candidates would have been.
Oh, thank you. Jerry Nankervis.
Thank you. I am not in favor of lowering the age. I can tell you when I was 16, politics was probably the furthest thing from my mind. I had lots of things on my mind. Politics wasn't one of them. And arguably at 21 or 22, it wasn't. When I lived in the bush and got no news, any news, radio even, it was not on my radar until I moved to Juneau and moved into the capital city. Then it started to be on my radar, and through my work at the police department, I realized, because I was reminded, there were several things that were politically prudent to do and not do. And I, like Mr. Jones, have instilled an importance with my children to vote, because that is one of the single greatest things you can do as an American, is that you've got a say in who runs government. But along with that comes an obligation to pay attention to what's going on and make informed decision about what's going on. And I think 16 is just a little too young to be paying enough attention. See my earlier comments about politics. I think 18 is just a fine age to do that. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Next question goes to Greg Fisk. This is on the budget. So recently the assembly had a meeting on the senior sales tax exemption to increase revenue. What are some other ideas you have about additional revenue sources besides tourism?
Well, I think we need to grow the economy as much as possible. It means having more residents here and building our tax base that way. You said not to talk about tourism, but that's an important one I think needs a mention, because we derive so much of our sales tax from tourism, and we need to build on that. Attracting more people to live here is going to be very, very important. But the other side of the equation on this is to try to live a little more frugally. And I think there's some strategic things that the assembly can do to make our money go further. And one of the main ones in that regard is to build within our existing infrastructure base instead of extending expensive infrastructure. That's a long-term strategic commitment that I think we need to make to improve our budgetary system.
Thank you, Greg. Mayor Sanford.
Yeah, thank you. And talking about the building within the urban service area, that's been a goal and a straightforward thinking of the assembly the past 10 years, is to fill in the areas within our community in the valley and around the valley and North Douglas and downtown to make sure that we have water, sewer, and electricity to those most populated areas first, and also the bus service, to overlay all that with the bus service and make our density in those areas higher. And that's the only way, only one of the ways that we're going to lower the cost of living in Juneau, is to do those types of things. But the budget issue is going to be very interesting this year, and we're going to have to wait and see again. I hate to say this all the time, but we have to wait and see again what the state is going to do. If we don't lose any jobs in Juneau due to state dollar loss, we're going to be fine. But if we lose 200 faces, families out of our community, that's going to be a big hit to our budgets. And we're going to have to compensate for that in some way or cut things that we're doing.
Thank you, Mayor Samford. Lauren Jones.
I think another issue in terms of potentially revenue increases that the Assembly looked at, it was a proposal that came to us through the Chamber of Commerce and at least one other citizen, and that was to look at raising our overall sales tax to 6%, but eliminating the tax on food for everybody. We had a lot of testimony on the senior about food and expenses and fixed incomes. We have a lot of young, struggling families. We have new families into town. They struggle as well, and yet they pay the full 5% on food. They pay the full 5% on other items. That didn't get the support of enough Assembly members this year. That may be one that we need to look at. But I agree with Mayor Samford. We have some issues with the state. If they put in a sales tax, if they put in an income tax, they do things like that, it really changes our ability to raise revenues because they take away from the city possibilities to raise revenue because they need to raise those revenues at the state level. And that would make our budget process and our revenue outlook
Thank you, Lauren.
Different. Thank you.
Dixie Hood.
I think that the cuts in programs and personnel that have already occurred and the efficiencies that have been enhanced have all been beneficial in terms of the budget. I don't think I could support additional cuts, and I think that some of the sources for revenue that could be looked at would be through community foundation, various grants, and exploring tax options. And the mention of increased sales tax at any level, city or state, I am totally opposed to. Sales taxes hit people with low and moderate incomes the hardest because most of their expenditures are on living expenses. And I think that one of the things that the Juneau Economic Development Council has talked about was expanding the development in downtown Juneau, especially the historic district and higher density housing zone and the Willoughby district, because they're so high in property value and the taxes from developing that would be huge as a revenue source.
Thank you, Dixie. Jerry Nankervis.
Thank you. Now, there's two sides to that coin. There's the one side that says increase revenue, then there's the other side that says decrease spending. And as others have mentioned, the potential for more federal dollars and more state dollars coming into this town, I think is greatly diminished from what it was a number of years ago. So I think we need to look as a community at what we want and what we need. And we need to look at it with a sharp eye. And earlier, one of the questions talked about spending on the school. And I will give you the analogy that I like to use because I think it adequately describes it. The budget's like a tapestry. So picture there's a thread sticking out on one side of that tapestry and it's annoying you. So you go, well, that thread bothers me. Let's go over there and pull on that thread. And you do, you pull on that thread. And then the other side of that tapestry jiggles and something moves. Maybe not even what you expected. The budget is very much like that. There's so many moving parts in it that you need to look at what money is coming in, what money is going out, and what do you want to do. The mechanisms are already there in place, as Mr. Jones talked about, possibly raising the sales tax. We could always look at changing the mill rate. We could always look at cutting spending. We could look at no sales tax on food in a combination with the 6% sales tax on not food. So I think the mechanisms are already in place there. It's what do we want to do to make that happen, to where we're living within our means, and we're obligated to provide a balanced budget every budget cycle. So far, we've been able to do that, and I anticipate we'll continue to do that. Might take some tough decisions, but we will get there. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. Jason Puckett.
Yeah, I think you have to look at what the future is going to hold. If you listen to any of the economists, you know, we're looking at possibly subpar 30, maybe even subpar 20 dollar barrel oil. And so we have to look at where our revenues are going to come from in the future. And so I think we need to have a combination, like some of the other candidates have said, you know, of possibly increasing tax rates, possibly decreasing spending, but it has to be a good balance between. I think the big thing is we need to diversify our economy. We can't live off state jobs and tourism alone. We need to make sure we bring in a more diverse business economy into Juneau. So if something happens with the capital or something happens with tourism, we're still going to be fine. I think that's the big thing. We need to focus on the business diversity, making sure we build that stable base for our community.
Thank you, Jason. We have time for one last question. We'll start with Mayor Sanford. The Anchorage Assembly recently debated an ordinance that would prevent discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity. Do you support such an ordinance? And do you believe such an ordinance should include a religious conscience exemption that would allow faith-based businesses to fire or refuse service to gays, lesbians, and transgender people?
To put it quite simply, we did that 3 or 4 years ago. So we have an ordinance on the books that addresses all those things completely. And so what we are looking at right now, I know one of our committees at the assembly level is looking at when they change the law at the federal level, what do we need to do to change some of the wording within our ordinance? But we already recognize and accept the fact of the transgender and bisexual and all those other things. So.
Great. Thank you for that explanation. Lauren Jones?
Yes, I do. But the latter part of your question, I would interpret much more narrower. I believe current laws, maybe not being a lawyer, I'm not sure about that. But I think the religious exception should be for religious organizations whose primary job is to promote their religion. It's not because I, as a business person, go to a particular church that I can fire my employees. That is not a religious exception in my mind, and I wouldn't support that. You know, if the bishop wants to hire somebody to teach Catholic tradition, great. But if a business person is open to the public, serving the public, and thinks because based on what they personally believe about religion, they can fire their employees or discriminate against their customers, I am not in support of it at all.
Thank you, Lauren. Dixie Hood?
I basically would ditto everything that Lauren just said. I was instrumental in initiating the policy that the assembly developed for the employees here. The school district was the first in the whole state to have developed an anti-discrimination policy that included sexual orientation. And I think that that's very important. I think that what Lauren said about persons with religious beliefs, it's like they can choose individually how they believe and what they're going to do, but it shouldn't impact businesses or city government at all.
Thank you, Dixie. Jerry Nankervis?
Thank you. It's just wrong. Doing is wrong. You shouldn't be discriminating against people. And I agree with Mayor Sanford that we have laws in place in this town to address exactly that. And on top of that, there's case law that speaks to this issue as well. So I think we're covered where we're at. But again, discriminating is wrong. You just shouldn't do it.
Thank you. Jason Puckett.
You know, I think it's all about putting labels on people. And, you know, the younger generation has stopped putting labels on people. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, gay, lesbian, transgender. You know, to them, it doesn't matter. And that's how it should be for everyone. And we should not discriminate, period, point blank. If you have a religious affiliation that says that you don't like that certain type, you can think that in your own home. But if you run a public business or you work for the government, you should not bring those views into your job or into your business. you should serve the public. So I think there, you know, any type of discrimination based off gender or sexual orientation, you know, should be completely banned.
Thank you, Jason. Greg Fisk.
Yeah, I think we're okay on in terms of local ordinances on what we're doing for the LGBT community in terms of the protections they've needed. I'm not as confident, however, that the society is really as accepting as our ordinance would like us to be. So I think there's we have work to do as a community. That's not something that the assembly itself can, as a group, attack. But I think it's. I think it's something that the community has to be aware of, and there's still a lot of room for improvement in that regard. With respect to the religious exemption, I echo Lauren's explanation. And if you're a public business, doing business with the public, I think you have to serve everybody without discrimination.
Thank you, Greg. We are now out of time. Please provide your closing statements. We're going to start in reverse order with Jason Puckett. So, Jason, closing statement, please.
Well, I appreciate you guys giving me the time to call in, you know, because I couldn't be there for the actual forum. And, you know, my big thing is I want to make sure we're supporting our children, make sure we have a vibrant economy, make sure we have the affordable housing so our children will stay in Juneau. Or if they go to the lower 48 to get educated, they'll bring their education back to Juneau. And make sure we have a government that runs smoothly and make sure we take care of all the people, not just certain groups of the people. And that's the reason why I'm running, and I hope October 6th, you'll come out and vote for me.
Thank you, Jason. Jerry Nankervis.
Thank you. I have pride in this community, I think like you do. I've been proud to serve on this assembly for 3 years. And if you give me the opportunity to continue serving, I will continue to be proud of this community. I want to do what I can to make this the best place in Alaska to live for the rest of my life and beyond. We need to continue working on the housing initiatives that we've started, because almost everything we look at for economic development, almost everything we can do for diversification, which is obviously good for anybody's portfolio, and that includes Juneau's portfolio, have a diverse economy is better. Housing is the root of that. We need to have housing to get people here so that we have diversification, and we need to make sure we're doing it with fiscal responsibility. I will do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. Dixie Hood.
At 82 years old, people are always asking me, why is it that I am even thinking about running for assembly? And I just want to say that I have reasonably good physical health and physical energy that keeps me going, and a sense of humor that keeps me afloat when things go haywire. And I think out of the box, and I as an assembly member, I think thinking out of the box is a plus. And I picked up a Frank Zappa button at the Rainy Retreat bookstore that said, without deviation from the norm, progress is not possible. I like that. And my license plate is WY space NOT. So I hope you'll join in supporting me for the assembly, and we'll have fun.
Thank you, Dixie. Lauren Jones.
Thank you. Being opposed, I have a little bit of a different kind of a message, and that is those in the audience, those who are listening on KTOO, those who are reading the newspaper, there are many, many important issues. Tonight, we have answered 2, 4, 6, 7 questions about major issues that Juneau is facing. How you vote, who you elect, is very, very important. And you will not elect the person you want unless you get out and vote. So please, everybody, turn out to vote. We shouldn't settle for 30 or 31 or 32. We should be at 60 and 70% voter turnout, no matter what the issues are. It is our right and our responsibility to vote. We need to do that. So I encourage, no matter who you're going to vote for, among all of the candidates that you're going to hear tonight, please exercise your right. Get out and vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Lauren. Mayor Sanford?
There are many things that we've started in the past year or two. Many things that we've completed and that are on the books. We've done a memorandum of understanding and agreement with Gold Belt Incorporated for the backside of Douglas. We just received word a week or two ago about the Corps of Engineers and their report on the road extension out the west side. So that's a go. That's something we're going to be doing next spring. The important thing with transportation is our shipping costs within Juneau. One of the reasons why we're such an expensive community is we really only have one shipper, although there's two different names on the books here right now. Somehow we've got to help that be facilitated better so that we can get our shipping costs down, which will help overall in our whole tracking area. We need to enhance the good things that we do. We already have a great arts and facilities community. Let's enhance that. Let's show everybody what type of an arts community we are and what we can do with that part of it. So that's another good add-on to the economic development plan. It's kind of neat that we have a plan now that is in line with the assembly goals and objectives, and we're moving forward in a direction for that.
Thank you, Mayor. Greg Fisk.
Well, we talked a lot about various nuts and bolts here tonight, and that's fine. I mean, we really do need to talk about them, but there are a ton of them, as Lauren said. So I just kind of want to leave people with one thought that it's important to me. Maybe it's important for other people. And that's this, that despite the challenges we have here, this is a really great little city. And I think we need to all bear in mind just how unique and special it is. And we need to create a buzz about this place that inspires people. And my hope is that Juneau will be one of the great small cities in the entire country, and that will get out to people. And I think that's important because if our neighbors to the north begin to think of us as a cool place, I think that's going to be something that really helps protect our capital status, which is the core of this city's being. So let's just try to be the best possible capital city for Alaska and one of the great small cities in the U.S.
Thank you, Greg, and thank you very much, candidates. This concludes the mayoral and assembly portion of the forum. There will be music for about 5 minutes while the school board candidates get seated, and we'll return.